Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are the house of God. I think the exact words is which house we are. That speaks of it in the New Testament. Says that we are the house of God. Not only are we individually the house of God, but it is also the plan and the purpose of God to bring people of like mind together. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Because there are many definitions of church, but the only real and true definition of church that the Bible has is called the body of Christ. Huh? Body of Christ. That is the true church. Right? Anything outside of the body aspect of church is something that is other than what God had planned from the beginning. The major position or the place that was in God's mind was that man might have fellowship with Him individually as well as collectively. Because each and every one of you, as you come into Christ, now one of the things that Paul was lamenting over or talking to the Galatian church about is that Christ be formed in you. Christ be formed in you. He says, I travail again, little children, that Christ be formed in you. So it is in you that Christ wants to manifest itself. Praise the Lord. And when we are talking about a message, we say message, we call it what the Bible says is the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God is the full expression of what it is that God is doing concerning church and in us as individuals in that position or that place of relationship. Now, one of the things that a word of God does is it brings people together with a common objective. Hallelujah. And it is the common objective that is important. Because if the objective is not the fullness of Christ, hallelujah, then the direction, then the thing that they are doing, although it may be good, will not accomplish or complete the thing that God wants to have done. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. I hope that, the brother asked a question earlier on, and I hope that I can get into at least to touch on it a little bit. Hallelujah. So that we can understand the totality of what God is saying. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Well, what was the Word that was in the beginning, and what was the intent or the desire of God in that time frame? Well, if you were to turn over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it was said that God wanted to create men in His own image, but not only in His own image, but also in His likeness. He wanted them to be like Him. Yes. Hallelujah. And John chapter 1 is somewhat a repeating of that thought that God had, only it is not just repeating it, it is also laying down the position or the place of authority by which you might achieve receive it. Hallelujah. You know, there are many things that happen in the holy place concerning God in the spirituality of the kingdom that He lives in. And there are many manifestations that come because of that spirituality. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can have the gift of healing. You can have the gift of discernment. You can have the gift of the word of knowledge. All of these different external or easily recognized things that say someone has this position or this place or this experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, the church, the Pentecostal church in particular, hallelujah, has made doctrines out of it and have built churches around it. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of revival in the church. I don't know if you have heard of the 1906 revival and Azusa Street. Some of you have. Hallelujah. If you can get some literature on it, it would be good. There was a book, I don't even know if it's in print anymore, that was by a man called Bartholomew Bartlett or something like that. Anyway, it was another wind of revival. You know, and the thing about it was that God just miraculously poured out His Spirit in a local area of Los Angeles that was called Azusa Street. Men were walking down the street, and all of a sudden, they would just fall to their knees or fall to their on the sidewalk, repenting of their sins. There was an outpouring of the Spirit of healing. There was an outpouring of the Spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. That revival lasted probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But what we got out of that revival was the Pentecostal Holiness Church. We got the Assemblies of God. We got the Four Square Church. All of those things came out of that movement. And there were many more churches. Hallelujah. And instead of bringing people together, the revelation of God or the manifestation of that outpouring of God, instead of bringing people together, it built walls and separations. Because each of them thought that what they had, as far as the gospel is concerned, was the epitome of what it was that God was saying. Somehow, man always seems to get involved in God's business, and he always seems to think that God is not able to run or handle his business. Praise the Lord. And if you don't believe that, look at your own situations. How many times have you got into difficult situations and you find yourself at a loss of what to do, but you feel like you have to do something? Hallelujah. Or am I the only one that has that experience? Huh? Instead of waiting on God, I do something. And every time I do something, I get in trouble. Hallelujah. Which I am very thankful for, by the way, because it keeps me in a position or in a place of humility before the Lord. But there is something that God desired to do from the very beginning. And the message of the kingdom is the message of sonship. Hello? It's the message of sonship. We are talking about great tribulation coming on the world, but in the midst of that great tribulation, God has to do something to save the world. Hallelujah. Or maybe you don't think God wants to save the world. But I believe that God wants to save the world. I also believe that the Bible says that that is His desire. I do not believe that God created something in the very beginning just to destroy it. That would be a position or a concession of loss. Hello? Hallelujah. And I don't serve a loser. Amen. Well, if I'm under the devil, sometimes I'm serving the loser. And I always lose. But serving God, He is not a loser. He's a winner. And He wants you and I to participate with Him in that winning thing. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there's all kinds of things that would raise all kinds of questions, and we can go all kinds of different ways of why God did it and what was it that he was trying to accomplish. But let it suffice us to say today that God wants to bring forth his kingdom, and he wants it to be filled with sons, because there is a destruction that is coming upon the world, and God wants to prepare a people who have the ability or have the strength to stand up in the midst of the destruction and say, it is enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this position of sonship has many names. Hallelujah. Let me put the word sonship here, right? It has many names. We call it the 144,000. Are you familiar with that? Hallelujah. It's, what is it, 12 times 12? 12 is the number of government. 12 times 12 are 12 multiplied by itself with three zeros. After it is the fullness or the position or the place of God's government in the earth. Hallelujah. It is also called First Fruits Company, right? My farm was called First Fruits, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is called the First Fruits Company. Praise the Lord. All of these terminologies are talking about the same thing. Hallelujah. They're talking about a position, a place where God wants to bring you and I into that is designated or signified by the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Okay, let me go back. I think we brought a lot of bad news with the good news. Hallelujah. And I don't want to leave you out there in the water floundering around, you know, sinking and thinking you're going down for the last time. Hallelujah. It was in the day of Noah that God saw the earth in the condition that it was, and he made a decision that he was going to destroy the earth, but he couldn't destroy all of the inhabitants in the earth because some of the inhabitants in the earth were righteous in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he had to do something. So he talked to a man to build an ark. Praise the Lord. Now, isn't that funny? He talks about building an ark. And we have in here, in this Holy of Holies, something that is called the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant. Covenant is a promise. Yes. Covenant is a position or a place that you enter into an agreement with someone. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is not someone entering into agreement with someone. This is God who is entering into an agreement with us. So the Ark of the Covenant is a representation on the spiritual plane of God's desire to be with you and you with Him. Amen? And there is not only that He has that desire for you, but He has a provision in Him to give you that will help you in the midst of the thing that is coming upon the earth. Not only will it help you individually, but you will be able to help others. Praise the Lord. Because God wants you to walk into the midst of the destruction and to stop it. Hallelujah. Let us go over into Revelations. I'm not a Revelation teacher, by the way. Praise the Lord. Revelation to witness. Where is it?
11.
But there are some things I know about Revelation that I kind of would like to share with you. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you. I want to also here put under this category here of sonship the two witness, right? Company. Now, Mark touched on that a little bit. Hallelujah. But the two witness company are not just specifically two individuals. They are a company of believers, a company of people, and they are incorporated or included in the terminology of sonship. Hallelujah. He was talking about the attributes of that two witness company. He read that. I'm not going to go back over that. We don't have the time. But he was talking about the attributes of it, and if, from a natural perspective, you could say it was Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah. If you want to look at it this way, but you want to look at it this way, Moses was a representation of the Word of God. It was unto Moses that the Word of God was given. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that. Out of that position and that thing that God gave Moses, we have the whole basis of the Word of God. Isn't that right? The whole basis is on the two tables of stone. Praise the Lord. And it says that when God came, He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Well, now if you want a spiritual interpretation of that, if you want an interpretation, that meant that what Jesus was saying is that He was going to become the manifestation and the totality of what it was that was written on those two tablets. And it was going to be what? Written on His heart. Do you remember the second covenant that was made with the children of Israel? He says, after those days, Isaiah, Jeremiah, if you want to afterwards, want to know where these scriptures are, please come and ask me, and I'll see if I can find them in my computer. But it says that after those days, what days? Huh? Yes, after those days, I'm going to what? Make a new covenant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the transition of the old covenant, okay, that was given to Moses was in effect until Christ came. Hello? It was in effect. They were being ruled and judged by God on the basis of what was written on those two tables of stone. Praise the Lord. But when Christ came, He transitioned that position of law and order, that law and righteousness. There was a transition coming from tables of stone to where? Tables of heart. He says, I will write on your heart. Now, what does He mean by write on your heart? He means He's going to change something in you that makes you, or that makes you, I don't like to use the word make. You know, the English language is terrible. Hallelujah. Because it's not a making. It gives you a desire to move in righteousness. And when you do something bad, it brings what we call conviction. Yeah? But you know what conviction is, really? It's the voice of God talking to you. That's what conviction is. It's the voice of God talking to you. So there was a transition that God wanted to, God was making in Jesus Christ. And that transition, as is designated in Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You go to Romans 8, chapter 8th chapter. By the way, 8 in numerics, the spiritual numerics, is the number of new beginnings. Praise the Lord. 8 is always a new beginning. Hallelujah. But it says what the law could not do, right? Let's turn over there. You can hold your finger there in Revelation 11. I trust I will be able to get back to it. But I want to go to Romans, the first chapter. Hallelujah. 8th chapter, I'm sorry. It says, Now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ Jesus. That means that if you're not in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen? You're going to be in condemnation. You can read the scripture. And now condemnation is not always a bad thing. Condemnation sometimes tells us that we're not in the Spirit. Now, we can get all worked up about it and say, oh my, I'm under condemnation, I'm just this and under all of this. But if we use it as a tool, don't use it in a negative sense. Don't use it in a way that defeats you, frustrates you, or depresses you. Praise the Lord. Just be aware that the condemnation means you've moved out of the realm of the Spirit into the realm of the flesh. What do you do? You repent. You get out of the flesh and back into the spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says here, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We have to develop a spiritual life. Hello? Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Then it goes down. It says that for what the law, verse 3, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Well, what it is really saying is that in the midst of flesh, God walked and talked and overcame every obstacle that flesh was throwing into His path. That's what it's saying. Hallelujah. And if you talk about God sending His own Son, so the position of sonship has the responsibility of overcoming sin. Okay? Hello? Are you there? Overcoming sin. Overcoming. Now, overcoming doesn't mean that you just don't do it. What it means is that you destroy the motivation of the thing that is causing you to do what you would not want to do. Right? You destroy it. So, in actuality, you are destroying a bit of hell that has some right or position of authority over you. Now, when you destroy that hell, it doesn't only help you, but it helps somebody else. Hello? My father, my family had a spirit of alcoholism. And I had a father that was an alcoholic. I had a brother that was an alcoholic. And I was becoming an alcoholic. But when I met God, God began to do something in my life with regards to that position of overshadowing. That position and that right of possession. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And over a period of time, hallelujah, I defeated the spirit of alcoholism. I mean, I didn't just resist it. I just didn't do it. I destroyed it. Hello? How do I know that I destroyed it? Well, when I destroyed it, my father, who had been drinking for about 65 years, quit. Hallelujah. My brother, who had been drinking for at least 30 years, quit. Hallelujah. And my children have not had to suffer under the right of that spirit to possess them. Do you hear me? Now, that doesn't mean they're not tempted. That doesn't mean that they don't stumble and fall. That means they don't. That doesn't mean that they don't have to resist the devil. But what it means is that that devil has no more authority over them to do to them what it had done to me and my family. Praise the Lord. So, in a measure, I became something of an ark for my family. Hello? Hello, are you there? My goodness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it says that Christ sinning. So the position, the place of overcoming is not just overcoming, but it is a position of authority, and that authority is being given to us to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us go back over into John. I want to go back to John. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, you can have laws, rules, regulations, stipulations, contractual agreements, but unless something in you is working to change something, those things will be of no benefit for you, because the devil is always stronger than the sense of obligation and responsibility. Hello? We go to church, we have a sense of responsibility. We are in the church, we have a sense of obligation. But the devil always has something that is stronger than that sense of obligation or responsibility. You need something inside of you that has no desire for it at all. Almost impossible, isn't it? It is impossible. Yes, sir.
When you say sonship, I think you are relating the sonship to church.
Now, I'm relating sonship to Christ and to us.
Christ being the head of the church.
But if we are in Christ, then we are of Christ. It says Christ in you.
When it comes to me, I think that is sonship, not headship.
Well, it can be headship, but there is a spirit by which God changes you so that you might be identified in the reality of what it is called sonship. You become as a son. Let me read John, all right? Let me read John chapter 1. I'm coming there. Just hold on. John chapter 1. Alright, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, do you remember the drawing I had on the board of God the Father, Son, and God the Father, Son, Spirit, and then Spirit, Soul, and Body, and the position of captivity because of the fall of Adam, and God coming to ignite the soul? Hallelujah. It says that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God, whose name was John, that came to bear witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. All right, I want to jump down. Hallelujah. It says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, there is something of a repetitiveness in the dealings of God. It kind of repeats itself over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. But every time it repeats itself, there's an expansion of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There have always been antichrists, and there have been time planes or dispositions where the antichrist spirit has had a position of predominance over a people or over a land. Hallelujah. But when we talk about the antichrist of the end time, hallelujah, it means there is a fuller development of it and a dimension of it that grows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we have God once again coming to his own in John chapter 1. And I believe that there is a message that is being loosed in this hour. Praise the Lord. For the church. Hallelujah. The church overall, the church that is outer court, our holy place, whatever it may be, I believe that there is a word of God that is going out to the church, hallelujah, to alert it, to awaken it, to get it to a position or a place to where they will begin to seek the face of God, hallelujah. You remember John standing down there in the river, and the Pharisees came, and he said to them, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Do you remember that? It's in there in John, I believe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said it in a different way. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you, hallelujah, as a hen gathereth her chicks, but you would not. Praise the Lord. So there is a spirit of resistance. Hallelujah. That was within the religious society of that day. And I believe that there is a spirit of resistance that is in within the realm of religion today. Praise the Lord. You know, oftentimes in successful churches and the way things are going, we have a philosophy or a thought, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? If it's not broke, why fix it? It's working. People are getting saved. People are growing. Our things are happening within the realm of our church. But unless you are producing the thought or the intent that God had in the very beginning, hallelujah, hallelujah, then you're not accomplishing what it is that the world is going to need in the time of tribulation. There is trouble coming, brethren. Hallelujah. There is trouble coming. Hallelujah. Now you can tell me that the world has always been a place of trouble. Well, many of you were under the communist regime and you knew the oppression, suppression, and the distress of soul that was there in that environment. You would not want to go back into that again, would you? Would you want that kind of environment? And yet there is an environment that is coming that is worse than that. Hallelujah. Now, you know, hallelujah. And God wants to prepare a people for that time, that have an authority, that have a power to help and to rescue and to destroy the move of the devil to come to that place of fullness. Hallelujah. As God built an ark, used a man to build an ark, so it was that God is using the messengers and the messengers that God is choosing to bring you the awareness of the position and the and to incorporate you in the building of that ark that is coming for this end time. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Hallelujah. He came unto his own, and the own received him not, but as many as he has received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know whether that word is technon or hulios. Huh? It's children. It's technon. But it makes no difference.
In this case, it means the same thing.
It means the same thing. Well, whether I'm a small child of God, a small son of God, or a big son of God, it makes no difference. My destiny as a small son. I got in an argument over this one day. You know, a guy was really contending with me, you know, on children and adults. And I said, well, what's the difference? He says, the Bible says that a child is the heir of all things. You understand? When he grows up, he's going to be put in a position or a place of authority over the father's business, right? So it really makes no difference whether you're technon or whether you're helios, an adult position. What it's talking about is the potentiality that God is giving to you as a people. You have an opportunity. You have an availability. You have a potentiality. Now, how do you have the potentiality to become like God? Hallelujah. Because God said in the beginning, I want to make man in my image and what? In my likeness. Now, I don't know. Maybe your Bible in your language means something else when it says likeness. But in the Hebrew, it means to be like God. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, don't go out of here and say that Brother Bird is talking about usurping the position of God. I am not saying that. Don't go out of here saying that Brother Bird is talking about usurping the position of Christ. I'm not saying that. But if you are incorporated into God, how can you tell your piece of God from the other piece? Hallelujah. How can you do it? You know, they can take a little bit of blood, and in that blood there's got what they call DNA. I'm not a doctor, but in that DNA is all of me. Hallelujah. It's all of me. It's just me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we have God moving in the arena of man to do something that is very necessary, in that we have to be changed. He said, how are you going to do it? First of all, we have the word of authority to do it. Let me tell you something about prophecy. Prophecy is something that is alive. It's not a word that is spoken in an area. Prophecy goes out, hallelujah, to do something, hallelujah. And God's prophesied over Adam and Eve in the very beginning. It was a word of prophecy. Praise the Lord. In fact, God can't speak without prophesying because He's Alpha and Omega. Everything He speaks begins and it ends. And in Isaiah 55, it says, no word of God will go out from God and not return and not do what it is sent to do and return to Him. So, huh?
55:11.
Isaiah 55:11. Hallelujah. Now, that same word is the word that Gabriel prophesied over Mary. Did you know that? Hallelujah. He didn't come with another word. Do you hear me? He didn't come with another word. He came with the word that Isaiah prophesied, and Isaiah was not prophesying another word. He was prophesying or reiterating what it was that God said, what happened in the beginning. Hallelujah. So you have the word turned over and turned over, but every time it turns over, it expands. Praise the Lord. And as the word, now, it's interesting that if you read that account of Mary, huh? Hallelujah. It says that the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Praise the Lord. Well, do you know what one of the situation is here? There was an ark. The ark was made out of wood. Wood is indicative of man, but it was overlaid with gold. There were three things that were within the ark. There was the table of stone, huh? There was the pot of manna, right? And there was the rod, the Aaron rod, huh? That budded. Hallelujah. This is a symbolic picture of you and me. Hallelujah. This is a symbolic picture of you and me. He said that He would write the laws on our hearts. Hallelujah. So there's a writing on our hearts. There was a bread that Jesus was eating. Huh? There was something that Jesus was eating that was giving Him spiritual strength, spiritual maturity, spiritual reality, and spiritual maturity. Praise the Lord. The manna that you know not of. Yes.
Hidden manna in Revelation.
Hidden manna in Revelations. Praise God. And then we have the rod that budded. Do you remember the story over the almond rod? Huh? You remember how it came about? Praise the Lord. There was a contention in the camp as to who should lead them. Oh boy, it's kind of a similar situation, isn't it, brother? Hallelujah. There was a contention. You know, in the church of God, in the position or in the move of sonship, there will always be contention as to who should do what. Because not everybody and not all everyone is doing what they're supposed to do with regards to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there is something that is called divine intervention. Hallelujah. And it wasn't that Moses and Aaron were wanting to be vindicated. In fact, I think it was in that situation or in another one where Moses fell on his face before the Lord and began to intercede for the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the way, that is the only thing that is a recognizable, acceptable sacrifice with God that designates you for this position that is called sonship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was this contention. conversation that was going on in and amongst the camp as to the leadership that God put in their midst. So God told them to bring.